It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a great Thursday. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is January 27th of 2022. We got a humdinger lined up for you today, I promise. Great stuff. We're going to talk some hoops. We're going to talk some football. And however you are tuned in, know that I appreciate it very much. Whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online, it's 1650thefan.com. And perhaps last night you were tuned in one of those ways and you heard, after probably maybe biting all of your nails off and pulling out most of your hair, this final call in overtime of an Iowa State men's basketball win at Oklahoma State.
Likely picks up his dribble. Off to Keelan Boone. He'll fire a contested three. No. Rebound. Cisse brings it back out. Avery Anderson hoisting the buzzer. No. And Iowa State wins it in overtime. 84-81.
Yeah, that was a huge, huge, much-needed win for the 23rd-ranked Iowa State Cyclones. More details on that win to follow. But I've got the Big 12 basketball standings up in front of me right now. And I don't see how the Big 12 doesn't get at least eight teams. I could understand that. I could see seven just because of some attrition. But I think it's a minimum of seven. And if you look at the standings right now, Iowa State is tied with Oklahoma at 3-5 in conference play. TCU's also only got three wins, but they only have three losses. The Cyclones are one of three Big 12 teams with 15 wins. The only two that have more than 15, fourth-ranked Baylor and fifth-ranked Kansas. It's hard to make an argument that there's a better conference right now in the country than the Big 12. And Iowa State, I think last night you look at that game, obviously overtime blew up the numbers just a little bit, but 84 points from a team that had been struggling offensively, scoring, gosh, what was it? Like four? It was 49, 44, something like that in the loss to TCU last weekend. So a much-needed performance offensively for the Cyclones, and, of course, even better, a much-needed Big 12 win in what's just an absolute meat grinder of a conference. Kansas, they'll be in the tournament. Baylor, they'll be in the tournament. Texas Tech, they're ranked 13th. Have you watched them play? I mean, at the very least, if you've seen them both times against the Cyclones, that's an NCAA tournament team. They're 12-0 at home. The Texas Longhorns with former Texas Tech coach Chris Beard, 15-5, 5-3 in the Big 12 so far. They'll be in. There's four teams so far. Absolutely guarantee you they're going to be in the tournament. Then TCU, who I just mentioned, that beat up on the Clones last weekend, 13-4 overall. 3-3 in conference play. Then it's Iowa State and Oklahoma. Both 3-5 in Big 12 play, but Iowa State 15-5, right? Because they didn't lose a single non-conference game, and they have a chance to go undefeated in conference play, 13-0, when they take on Missouri on Saturday. You'll hear that game right here on The Fan, the Missouri Tigers, former Big 12 conference member, coming back to an old stomping ground in Ames in Hilton Coliseum to take on the Cyclones on Saturday. That is a noon pregame here on The Fan and a 1 o'clock tip-off. So it'll be really interesting to see how that game plays out with the Clones stepping outside of conference play, which you would think would be maybe a sigh of relief, but I would bet Missouri has other plans than to make it a walk in the park for the Cyclones on Saturday. So make sure you tune into that one here on The Fan. But Big 12 is just incredible. And you even get behind the Cyclones in the standings. Oklahoma State, they can't make the tournament this year. They behave badly, and they're in timeout. So West Virginia sits ninth, 13-6 overall, 2-5 in the Big 12. Who's to say they couldn't get to a West Virginia at that case probably has to win, go at least 8-8, or excuse me, 8-8. And then it's Kansas State. So Kansas State is probably your team on the outside looking in. They're not a pushover, though. So what this conference can do in terms of building each other's net ranking will also go a long way toward what I said before, probably 8 Big 12 teams getting into the NCAA tournament, in which case it's hard to think that the Cyclones don't do that, which is incredible, right? Can't lose sight of the fact that the Cyclones won 2 games last season. TJ Altzelberger, I'm guessing they've already engraved his name on the Coach of the Year trophy, and rightfully so. So it's an exciting season of Cyclone men's basketball and women's basketball, for that matter, and you hear them both right here on The Fan. So I wanted to start off with that because I watched that game last night, and it was edge-of-your-seat stuff. And also watched the UNI Panthers get a win last night on the road at Evansville. A.J. Green was really good in that one and surpassed the 1,500-point plateau as a Panther. I think that's makes him. I've got it in the stack here. It puts him in, as you might imagine, pretty exclusive company in program history. So basketball season is right where you want it. We're in the sweet spot right now. Of course, March is the pinnacle, but this is the part of the season that determines so many things, including just these teams really solidifying what they are or what they aren't. And I think that's the thing to watch over the next 2-3 weeks. What do you get out of Iowa State, UNI, Iowa, Drake? All 4 of those teams could potentially still reach the NCAA tournament. And they have all shown themselves capable of playing basketball at that level. So another great season of college basketball in the state. We shouldn't take this stuff for granted, folks. Make sure that you're tuning in right here on The Fan for all of it. All right. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColBear. Check out the Facebook page. Technically, like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 102.3 The Fan. You'll see it pop up. Check out the all-new website, 1650thefan.com. A lot of great content there, so bookmark it. Also there, the podcast of this show as well. So if you miss any interviews, know you can always go back and listen on demand, as well as the Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, which you can hear on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call. By all means, fire away. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. All right, area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we do that, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash Feast and Action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for this heat wave. What's happening with the heat wave? Is it going to stick around or not? We'll find out in that first time out from Megan Mulford. Then we'll come back and we will talk college hoops with our guy, the coach, Kevin Lehman, college basketball television analyst. We'll talk Iowa State, Iowa, UNI, and Drake in the next segment. After we're done with coach, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim, come back from that break, and we'll talk NFL, the coaching carousel, if you can call it that. I know they call it that in college football, so I'm just using the term for the NFL. It is at a fever pitch, and my Bears have made a hire. The Broncos have made a hire. So we're going to reach out to our guy, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter. He will join the show in the third segment to talk about all the moves going on in the NFL, and there's a lot of them. So look forward to that in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, come back and wrap up the show. That's the plan, boys and girls. Area sports news and scores. Today in high school bowling involving Metro teams, the Cedar Falls boys and girls both competed in the Mississippi Valley Conference Mississippi Divisional Meet in Cedar Rapids. The Tiger boys team finished second, while the Cedar Falls girls won their meet. The Waterloo West and East boys and girls teams were set to compete in the Valley Divisional Meet today, but that's now going to take place Saturday at Cherry Lanes at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque. There was an informational meeting last night at Cedar Falls High School to promote plans for additional athletic facilities at the new high school. A presentation was given regarding an indoor pool facility and an athletic performance center. Money is being raised now to construct them on the east side of the building, which is expected to open in the fall of 2024. Cedar Falls schools plan to seek bids this spring on the indoor pool, which has already begun raising funds. Last night's event was to help kick off planning for the performance center. If you want more details, you can go to 1650thefan.com and hear audio from Cedar Falls Athletic Director Troy Becker. As I touched on already, Isaiah Brockington scored 26 and helped 23rd-ranked Iowa State beat Oklahoma State 84-81 in overtime last night right here on The Fan. Brockington drained a contested jumper with 20 seconds left to tie the score at 70 and force OT. Iowa State snaps a two-game losing streak and improves to 3-5 in the Big 12, 15-5 overall, and are in action this Saturday against Missouri, noon start time here on The Fan. Iowa State freshman guard Tyrese Hunter is one of 15 players named to the Naismith Men's Defensive Player of the Year watch list. The Racine, Wisconsin native leads the Big 12 Conference with 42 steals, which also leads all freshmen nationally. He has 12 games with multiple steals and 5 games with at least 4 steals. He also has 5 blocks this season. Hunter and the Cyclones return to action, as I told you, against Mizzou on Saturday. The 13th-ranked Iowa State women's basketball team got back to its winning ways with a 77-62 win over Kansas last night in Ames. Cyclones placed 4 players in double figures en route to their 6th conference win of the season. Ashley Jones led the way with a game-high 21 and 11 boards. That's her 10th double-double of the season. Iowa State now 17-3 overall and 6-2 in the Big 12. UNI men's basketball wins 64-59 at Evansville last night, stopping a 2-game losing streak and completing the season sweep of the Purple Aces. A.J. Green led UNI with 18. Nate Heisey joined him in double figures with 12. Panthers are now 6-3 in Valley play. The UNI women's basketball team plays at Illinois State tonight. Tip-off is at 6. Redbirds are in first place in the Valley with a 6-1 record. UNI is 3-2 in the league. UNI won both games against the Redbirds last season. It was a tough night for the Wartburg basketball teams as they hosted University of Dubuque last night. In the women's game, the Spartans stunned the 12th-ranked Knights 68-62 in overtime. It snapped a 6-game winning streak, and the Dubuque men's team took over sole possession of first place in the ARC, stopping the Knights 59-42. After a year off from competition, the annual Battle of the Bergs is set to take place tonight as number 1 Wartburg Wrestling takes on number 3 Augsburg. The Knights and Auggies will duel tonight at 7:30 in Minneapolis. Wartburg has won 10 of the last 11 meetings in the series. And finally, the Iowa men's basketball team will look to protect its home court, hosting 6th-ranked Purdue tonight at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Hawkeyes are looking to avenge a loss against the Boilermakers in their Big Ten opener. Iowa has beaten Purdue 5 of the last 7 times in Iowa City. Game time is at 8 tonight. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. When we come back, we're talking hoops, Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake with the coach, Kevin Lehman, college basketball television analyst, joins us next on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett fills the first of the nine coaching vacancies with the Broncos, reportedly set to name the Packers offensive coordinator their new head man, while the Bears, following suit, they're reportedly heading in a different direction to defense, with Colts assistant Matt Eberflus set to take over in Chicago. Dan Quinn was a finalist in both Chicago and Denver and interviewed for other jobs, but is opting to stay another season as Cowboys defensive coordinator. The Giants, who had interviewed Quinn, talked with former Dolphins coach Brian Flores today and will speak with Dolphins, Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier tomorrow. The Saints have asked permission to speak with Buccaneers
coach
Byron Leftwich. Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, who had been on Sean Payton's staff, is also a target as well. And the Raiders have reportedly asked permission to speak with the Patriots' Josh McDaniels. The end of an era in Pittsburgh, with
plans.
Ben Roethlisberger announcing his retirement. Big Ben is a future Hall of Famer, walks away from the game as its fifth all-time leading passer.
Okay.
Two-time
Thanks
Super Bowl
heads
champ
up.
Playing in the big game three times. He also was a six-time Pro Bowler. I'm Rich Ackerman.
How should you bet the AFC and NFC Conference
Just
Championship
game.
Games? Nick Costos from BetQL joins the Zach Gelb Show later, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio. Not in the car? Not a problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
I like Dad's because it's great people, great staff, and it's all sports.
Because of the bartenders and the owners.
I just really love this place.
I'm Jordan Headington, and I'm a sports fan, too. That's why my dad and I opened Dad's Pub.
Get together with my friends and have a good time.
I love the patio.
I like Dad's because you walk in, it's kind of like Cheers. Everybody knows your name.
Buy one, get one free during happy hour.
We sit out on the patio.
We love to play darts here.
Happy hour. Buy one, get one.
So come cheer with us at Dad's Pub on LaPorte Road in Waterloo, just a block south of Mitchell.
Cherry Limeade, Blue Raspberry, Twisted Berry. What do those boldly delicious flavors have in common? They're loud, and they're all part of the Bud Light Seltzer Retro Tie-Dye Pack. And they don't just taste loud. The tie-dye cans look loud, too. Bud Light Seltzer Retro Tie-Dye Pack. The loudest flavors ever. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2021 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Seltzer, St. Louis, Missouri, 63118.
In sports, if you think joy only happens after you win, think again. Look at the world's most successful athletes like Serena Williams, Brooks Koepka, and Alex Morgan. They don't spend all their days grinding away. They take time to enjoy themselves, like getting together with friends over a Michelob Ultra, because they know that happiness is the key to winning and that joy is the whole game, not just the end game. Michelob Ultra. 95 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
In 3 days, we will know who is headed to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, a 7-point favorite to advance to their third straight as they host the Bengals. And in the NFC, the 49ers and Rams, after upset road wins in the divisional round, LA a 3.5-point favorite. NBA postseason odds, the Warriors are the odds-on favorite to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals at plus 225, the Suns at plus 300, and the Jazz at plus 375. In the Eastern Conference, the Nets are the team to beat, plus 140 odds, followed by the Bucks at plus 330, and the Heat plus 600. College basketball, Iowa looking for the upset tonight against number 6 Purdue at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Iowa a 2.5-point home underdog.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly cloudy tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows dip down to about 9 below. North winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs around 10 above. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 2 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday with highs around 27. 21 Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 31.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A lot going on. A lot going on the college hoop scene. UNI gets a win last night. Iowa State gets a win last night in overtime. Drake gets a win last night in overtime. And tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the sixth-ranked Purdue Boilermakers are in town, and the Hawkeyes have an upset on their mind. So we called up the coach, Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on his birthday. Coach, Kegger at your place tonight?
We're going with a little land shark, man. Oh, okay. Bring your bottle opener.
Okay. All right. I'll be there. First,
we'll be two more guys that don't attend the Hawkeye game. We'll watch it on TV and drink a cold one.
It's the best seat in the house, and the beer's cheaper too at the Lehman household. Let's.
Isn't that amazing? First of all, there's 3,000 empty seats. Purdue coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. What is going on in the world of college basketball?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you talk to the athletic directors, the people in the administration, they're fighting against so many more things than they did back in the day. The Netflix, all the streaming, all that stuff that's out there. I mean, Coach, think about this. I mean, I'm not a man of a lot of means, but I have two televisions in my living room. And, you know, when I go and cover a UNI game at McLeod Center, I'm like, man, it'd sure be nice to have another screen here so I could watch the Iowa State game, but... You know, that's what it is. That's what you're fighting against if you're an administrator.
Well, you are a multitasker. You have much more skills than the average fan.
Well, I got to deliver for my audience. They're very needy, and I got to make sure that I stay up on everything. So it was Iowa
you
State,
do, dude.
It was Iowa State and you and I on the televisions last night at the Bear household.
God, I'm glad you can watch too. And then you do a great job of writing articles for the Gazette, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You know what? There's that job is so crazy because there's so many great writers out there that you're like, man, I just hope my readers don't think I'm stupid.
No, you do a great job. And unfortunately, the Press Citizen in Iowa City and the Gazette doesn't give much coverage to the Panthers. So, I mean the Register. So, the Gazette that you write for is huge for Panther fans down here in Eastern Iowa.
I have given Coach Lehman no money today, folks. He is saying this all out of the kindness of his heart, I promise you.
It's my birthday, man. I'm feeling good about the world right now.
Yeah.
So I'm giving Colbert a few kudos.
Good vibes right now on Cole and Company. Coach Lehman is with us. So let's talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes trying to pull this upset tonight. And Coach, talking about this game earlier in the week, I feel like this is a gettable game for the Hawkeyes because they gave the Boilermakers everything and then some in West Lafayette, a 77-70 loss for them in the Big Ten opener. If I'm not mistaken, I think Keegan Murray might have been out with the ankle injury in that game. Hawks are rebounding the ball better. They're playing a little bit better defense right now. What do you think about this matchup tonight?
Well, if you look at that box score, you're right. Keegan Murray did not play. 17 turnovers by the Boilermakers. So, but I think their guard play is a little bit better right now for Matt Painter-Sink. I would hope so. So you got those bigs. Iowa's got to speed this game up. We know that. So Iowa is not a great three-point shooting team. I was amazed at looking at their three-point percentages. It's around 31% in Big Ten play. But the fact that they don't turn the ball over, they're getting more, I always say, bites at the apple, more opportunities. They have to counter that and keep Purdue off the glass. Another big issue is Ivy going to play or not?
Yeah, that's the big one headed into tonight, whether or not Ivy suits up for the Boilermakers. And, you know, we talked so much earlier in the season, earlier this month, about the Hawks rebounding and defense. As I mentioned, it's gotten better, but you touched on what's really the water cooler subject right now, and that's the three-point shooting. And it makes me think of two particular names, Jordan Bohannon and Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins started off the season shooting it well from deep, Coach. And then Jordan Bohannon, it feels like there should just be more volume there. Easier said than done, because every team knows that he's that guy for the Hawks. But it feels like J-Bo should be able to get at least one more three up per game on average the rest of the season. That could be a huge development, along with Perkins finding the stroke again.
Oh, Cole, did you look at the stats in Big Ten play? Bohannon shooting 26% from three.
Jeez.
He's 12 of 45. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that, because there's the all-time three-point maker in the history of college basketball. He has been abysmal in Big Ten play. So, yeah, Mark Mann, maybe moving him to that two-guard spot did not help out so much as it did in the past. But they're playing a different style now. You know, he had guards inside last year, so little more room to operate. This team's more spread out. But I tell you, this is a win that the Hawks need because they don't have that wow me win on that resume yet. Mm-hmm. And the Nets at 20, we're going to start to talk a lot about quad one and quad two wins. They don't have any in the quad one. They're 4-5 overall and 0-4 in quad ones. They need a win like this to bolster that resume.
And that can make the difference between a huge difference between what you get in a first round draw. If they do, in fact, get into the NCAA tournament, you're going to get the short end of the proverbial stick in a matchup. You're going to get some really tough mid-major or like probably the second or third team out of a power conference that's on a heater.
You might get a Murray State or Belmont.
Holy cow, the Valley with UIC getting added, Coach. I tell you what, Jeff Jackson, how could anybody be upset with the new commissioner? I think he's hit this out of the park, and he didn't even know that Loyola was going to be on the outs, and then it's just like that didn't even trip him up at all. I mean, nothing but great things to say about how the Valley has basically gone about its business for the last 4 or 5 months.
You're right, Cole. It keeps you in the Chicago market. And when you first look at Illinois-Chicago, it doesn't wow you. Their net is 296. But I think you have to look at potential. This has a huge alumni base. It's one of the largest schools in America, UIC. It originally was a commuter school. Because back in the old days of the Mid-Continent that Northern Iowa was in before they joined the Valley, think about this. Now, four of those teams from the old Mid-Con are now Valley schools. Missouri State left in 91 to join the Valley. You and I left the next year. Valpo was added. UIC, those are all schools from the Mid-Con back in the late 80s when these teams were, the institution was jumping from Division II to Division I. And there's a little history there with UIC. I mean, they, with Jimmy Collins, who Bruce Pearl sends Christmas cards to every year, I'm sure, he took him to three NCAAs. 2004 is the latest, 2002, 1998. So there's a little history of this Illinois-Chicago making the NCAA tournament.
They got good facilities, too. So there's plenty of reasons to understand why Jeff Jackson and the Valley would make that add. Speaking of Valley basketball, the Drake Bulldogs, by the skin of their teeth, win in overtime, 89-88 at Illinois State last night. Illinois State, I think, is a great example, Coach Lehman, of the amount of parity that exists in the Valley this season.
Well, they're coming into McLeod Center Saturday. I've got that game. And when I went on my little tour in late September, November, looked at teams, I walked into that Redbird practice facility. I said, this is not a 10th-place team. He's got some dudes. Now, Cy Chapman's out with an Achilles tear. He's their big man in the middle, one of the best shot blockers in the Valley. He won't be playing. But they gave Drake all they wanted last night. But how about Darren DeVries?
Yeah.
Can that guy pull? He pulls more rabbits out of his hat than anyone I've ever been around.
Yep.
I certainly hope Drake can keep him because they're 4-1 on the road in Valley play.
And I don't want to speak it into existence any more than you do, but Darren DeVries is going to be a hot name again in the offseason when it comes to openings. But I think he's the type where he's going to be patient and he's only going to take a job if he's really into it. When it comes to the UNI Panthers last night, Coach, 64-49, they win at Evansville. It was an unspectacular win. It just seemed like one of those games where if it wasn't Evansville, UNI would not have won last night because they had their B game. And I think that's probably what's got fans continuing to experience some level of frustration with this team where it's like, man, you could see the flashes of how great this team can be. But too often, they don't have their A game. They have their B game, which is a competitive game. But we've talked about this before. You can't make a living off that in the Valley.
Well, we got teased by how well they played when the new calendar turned in 2002. And they racked up 83 points against Evansville, came back with 92 against Valpo. They go win at Missouri State, but then struggle against Indiana State, who came in depleted, a game that we talked about. I thought the win at Southern was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get tripped up at Valpo, of course, no A.J. Green, and then you gave one away to the Bulldogs last week. That was a game that they had. I think Coach Jake would tell you that. But I think at Evansville, that's just a game you got to win, and you get back, you get out of town.
Yeah,
Put that in the suitcase and go. Because what you've got in the Valley, if you look at it, preseason polls, we said it was going to be Loyola, Drake, UNI, Missouri State, and that's the way it's shaken out.
Noah Carter, 5 points against Drake, 9 points against Evansville last night. He didn't shoot the ball much. I think he was playing complimentary basketball, to his credit, against the Purple Aces. But worth looking into, Coach. It makes me wonder because I thought Darren DeVries' team did a really good job guarding him, walling him up with their bigger guards. And it just feels like perhaps that's the counter that Valley teams have made with him playing that small ball five.
Well, when you score 33 against Valpo like he did, and as well as he shot it, he hit five threes, he has now become the second most important man on that scouting report. So when I watched Drake prepare for the Northern Iowa game, Noah Carter was a focus. They were not going to let him get to his sweet spot on that right block, and they were going to take the three ball away from him, which they did effectively. So Noah's got to adjust that because teams know what his strengths are. They've got tons of tape on him, so he's got to expand his game. I think we saw this out of him last year at some big games and kind of was a little bit of a roller coaster. You got to get mature enough where you can fight through that and produce every night. He only played 19 minutes last night, which was a little discouraging. I don't know if it was because of foul issues or what happened there.
And, Coach, I think that just illuminates for all four of the teams we're talking about today that what's so important this time of the year, particularly when you get into February, is adjusting to the adjustments.
Well, no question, because in the Valley, especially since it's a 10-team league, I think you probably see it in the Big 12, you see teams twice a year, then sometimes three. Think about Illinois State coming in here this Saturday. Northern Iowa played them last year three times in a matter of 7 days.
Yeah.
So they know each other so well. They know the personnel. They know what you're going to run. And they know what works against it and what doesn't. So that's why I think transition offense and transition defense is so big in the Valley, because that's a well-scouted league. You got to try and beat defenses up the court. And as I say, all turnovers are not created equal. So you got to get some loose ball turnovers, get some easy baskets.
Yeah, live ball turnovers. Those things are worth their weight in gold. Iowa State, they win, much-needed win, 84-81 in overtime at Oklahoma State last night. Isaiah Brockington continues to be incredible, 26 points. He'll be the Big 12's newcomer of the year. But to me, Coach, and we've hinted at this a little bit, but I feel pretty good about this at this point, that the Iowa State season and how much more success they have this season than they already have had, especially coming off a two-win season last year, it's going to come down to two guys, Tyrese Hunter, the freshman point guard, and Gabe Kalscher, the two-guard. Gabe Kalscher, if he can be more consistent and continue to bring, you know, points on a more regular basis than he has, and then just the growth and maturation of Tyrese Hunter as a true freshman point guard, everybody else kind of feels like they've fallen into what they are, what they can be, but those two have a lot of talent, and it's, I think that's what it comes down to, is whether or not they end up being maybe a 6 seed or a 12 seed is the difference between Tyrese Hunter and Gabe Kalscher, how they finish this season.
Kalscher goes 0-for-6 last night. I mean, they hit 12 threes, and he goes 0-for-6.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another guy who stepped up for him, George Condit. We have not said that name all season. He gives him 10 points, 8 rebounds, 3 offensive boards, 4 assists. They need Condit to do that every game. And also, Caleb Grill is starting to become a real force for this Iowa State team. 5-of-7 from the perimeter. So they get Kalscher going, I'm with you. Cole, this team can get going, because we said, you know, they somewhat hampered offensively. They work so hard at the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they struggle offensively, but if they can get those guys going, you're starting to see some signs that this team, that was a huge win, because the TCU loss at home was a resume killer. They had to get that win at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they did.
Look at what happens to them in February. They got Missouri coming in. Of course, Missouri took number one Auburn to a 1-point game. But look at that February. Kansas, at Texas, at West Virginia, Kansas State, at TCU. It's brutal again in the Big 12.
Big 12's getting 8 teams in, Coach. I think that's probably a shoe-in.
And one of them, Oklahoma State's not eligible to play. So
right,
they're
going
to get actually 8 of 9 could make the tournament.
Coach, I got to run. Great stuff. Happy birthday.
Thank you, man.
The college basketball television analyst, the coach, Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on his birthday on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. We'll take this I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll take this time out. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL with Sean Keeler Denver Post sports columnist. That's next on Cole & Company.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Keel.
Presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. The Goblet has dropped. Download it. Must be 21.
Winners of three of their last four, the Iowa Hawkeyes are at home tonight against sixth-ranked Purdue. Hawkeyes are 4-4 in the Big Ten, and rebounding and defense has improved in recent weeks, and Coach Fran McCaffrey says that needs to continue against the Boilers.
But this team is really explosive offensively and a handful on the glass. So, like I said, anything less than your best effort, you know, makes it hard, so we got to be ready to compete.
Purdue is 5-3 in the league race and beat the Hawkeyes 77-70 in Mackey Arena back on December 3rd. The UNI women are on the road in Missouri Valley Conference tonight to take on Valley leader Illinois State. The Panthers are 3-2 in the conference race. The Drake women are on the road to play Bradley. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
And that's when I realized it's called a hamburger, not a handburger, because you carry it with your hand. I was wrong, people. It's like that time I thought I couldn't make the perfect app for football. I was wrong again, people. All I had to do was make a sportsbook app where you can earn season rewards all Sunday long. Nobody's better at bettering things than Caesars.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
This is Ernie Johnson, Jr. Sports is about overcoming obstacles. And college coaches work hard to help young men overcome Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's called Coach to Cure MD, and you can help. Text the word CURE to 501-501 to donate $25 on your next mobile phone bill. Or go online to CoachToCureMD.org. Text the word CURE to 501-501. Help coaches cure MD.
Brought to you by the American Football Coaches Association and Warner Ladder.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today and you'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus free vacuums and floor mat washing. Find us online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And as we like to do from time to time, step out of the local and statewide sports stories and we go national. So we bring in our guy, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post, as the NFL coaching carousel just hit a fever pitch today. A lot of guys finding their new homes. And Sean, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. He's lacking a little sleep, ladies and gentlemen, because among the head coaching hires that have happened over the past 12 hours or so, the Denver Broncos have a new head coach, Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. And Sean, I think there's plenty of people in the listening audience that have an interest in this. But before we go down that road, because we know where that leads, I don't have to say, just how are the natives receiving this news that Nathaniel Hackett is their new head coach in Denver?
I think cautiously optimistic is a good way to put it. How many years have we been talking since I've been out here? Three, four? And I've had two coaching hires already, where I think I've used the words cautiously optimistic. And then they always find a way to win 6 and 7 games. I think there's hope, but I think a good portion of the fan base likes that it's an offensive minded person. They like that it's someone somewhat younger with a more broad swath of NFL experience and with quarterback whispering experience. But, and I wrote this in a piece that should be up right now at denverpost.com. As you know, in the AFC West, that's half the battle. Right now, the Broncos quarterback depth chart is still Drew Lock and Brett Rippon and TBD, because our man Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent and is actually shamefully to say, one of the better free agent options out there in a very bad market. So I think the Broncos are kind of half done and everyone else is kind of, you know, excited just to have this over with, but also some of the cooler heads and including myself have said, okay, well, let's judge this based on who's going to be eventually under center, because as we've learned anything, certainly from the last playoff weekend, that's what it's all about. And that's who's going to drive the train.
Okay. So is Aaron Rodgers going to be driving the train? Because the thought was that you make the Von Miller trade to get the draft pick capital to put a package together that's probably going to have to include players too. I don't know, Sean. Like, how much – I mean, like, how about we just go, like, kind of lame city on this, on 1 to 10. What's the likelihood it happens? How does it happen?
I'd move it from a 4 to a 6 after this hire. I'm not sure I'm going to go to a 7 because Rodgers is such a weird cat that he always just looks like somebody you could retire any minute. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like start a folk band somewhere. I don't know. Or just go hang with Pat McAfee and do whatever they do. get immunized. I don't know. He's a different guy. And he's what, coming on 39?
Yeah.
So if it weren't for the Peyton Manning experience here, I don't think anyone would be as excited about the prospect as they are, given what everybody knows mm-hmm. about Rodgers and his age and where things are at. But yeah, does getting Nathaniel Hackett help? Oh yeah. I mean, if this is your gambit to make a run at him, you know, the old friends and family plan, we'll get one of your buddies. Maybe we'll get him to hire some more people from the Packers, line it up. And let's make a good 2-year run at this. Although it would only be a 2-year run. That's right. You know, trust me, always to find the glass half empty on a nice day, that even when you get Rodgers, your window is not large and it's not long. And I think they also like Hackett for his career before Green Bay, working with different types of quarterbacks. I mean, this is a guy who had a winning record with E.J. Manuel and Kyle Orton at quarterback. There's your Iowa connection. I think in 2014 in Buffalo, pre-Josh Allen Buffalo.
Yeah.
There was a Buffalo before Josh Allen. there just wasn't much of a Buffalo between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen. Kind of like there wasn't much of a Bengals between Boomer Esiason and Joe Burrow.
Well said.
You just skip those 25 years and just move right to the next guy. I think there's it's a lot closer, but is it a lead pipe cinch? I don't know. I mean, last year it was, you know, in the spring, it was such a hot topic in the draft, and they just kind of wimped out on it and went with Teddy instead. So I there's going to be somebody new in here. I just don't know if it's going to be Aaron.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the offseason. My Bears, meanwhile, they make a hire. They had hired, 2 days ago, Ryan Poles as their new GM from the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a first-time GM, and then everybody's worried that Bill Polian and Ted Phillips are going to be heavy-handed, pair him with Jim Caldwell like they paired John Fox with Ryan Pace, who was a first-time GM. And they promised, or the reports got out, Sean, that no, Ryan Poles is going to be able to hire who he wants. And he hires Matt Eberflus, the Colts defensive coordinator. The Colts have had good defenses, but this guy hasn't been a head coach before. So we got a first-time GM and a first-time head coach, and they're named Ryan and Matt. I mean, this is kind of sick and twisted, man.
Are you worried of deja vu? Isn't it funny? And then talk about the Bears and Broncos jobs. You know, you had to think Dan Quinn was a major candidate for both,
mm-hmm.
and he pulled his name out of every hat today. I didn't know if that was before a lot of these dominoes fell,
right,
or after. I think the Giants too. I mean, it seemed to be Dan Quinn setting the market, and then everything else would kind of follow. Now that he's out of it, you think you're going to see, depending on what happens with Leftwich and the Jags, obviously, I think you're going to see teams going young. if there's a trend, it's such a copycat league. You know, as you know, whatever's hot, whatever's hip, the Chiefs are good, go get those guys. Well, when the Bengals are good, everybody kind of, just like when the Lions are good, everyone kind of, or the Texans, everyone's eyes get big, like, wow, how'd you do that? So everybody's kind of looking for their own Zach Taylor, is what today kind of feels like, and hoping they hit that that lightning in a bottle. So, you know, then I go back to my original premise, and I wrote about this too. You know, great, if you're the Bears and the Broncos, you find your Zach Taylor. It's way more important that you find your Joe Burrow. It's way more important to land that guy, because we're not talking about Zach Taylor if he doesn't have two Pro Bowl receivers and a franchise quarterback just making magic and heading into their biggest weekend of the season.
And for Bears fans, it's all about who Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles hire as offensive coordinator now.
Yep.
You know, to figure out, can Justin Fields, you know, be a all-pro caliber quarterback that you hoped he'd be when you traded up to draft him at number 12 overall. The Dan Quinn thing, that was unexpected, but Jerry's in his bag, as the kids would say, and he's going to make him the highest-paid DC, and Dan Quinn probably thinks, this is my job in a year. He'll fire Mike
McCarthy. I was going to say, McCarthy gets run, he can take that game.
Yeah. Winding down here, just a little bit of time left with Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, on this Thursday edition of Cole and Company. Sean, let's make some predictions. AFC Championship, Chiefs, Bengals. Are you all about Joe Burrow? Are you going to ride that wave, or are you going with the maybe not quite dynasty, but on the verge of being a dynasty, Kansas City Chiefs?
It's two teams that I have covered in my decades wrapping up, and so I know people in both organizations. It's kind of near and dear and kind of fun for me. I will be rooting for the Bengals with my heart, because it's like a mid-major in the Final Four. It's like Loyola.
Yeah,
you know, they're not supposed to be there, and I know how badly run that team is, very intimately. So for them to have success, hey, let's face it, if you're of a certain age, the Bengals being good makes you feel young.
Yeah.
Or being in the, when they were talking about 1988, 1999, 1990. Yeah, I like that feeling. I remember where I was when look up Sam Weiss on YouTube, and he'll just have a field day. He was the Johnny Orr of the old AFC North. He was that guy. He was a delightful guy too, just like Johnny. So that brings up some happy memories. I do think the Chiefs will win, though. They hope Field will pull them out, but I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, the way the Bengals have gone on the road to do this, I wouldn't put any money against him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have been nothing short of incredible, what they've been able to do. I'm with you. I'll take the Chiefs, though, in the NFC Championship game. I think this one's a little harder to predict. Rams, Niners, what do you think?
The Niners have their number, don't they? That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much tougher and a lot more intriguing because they're division foes and coaching friends who are from the same tree. Kyle's dad, obviously, Mike Shanahan, had Sean McVay on his staff in Washington, too. How about that 2013, like, Washington staff, huh? That's another thing to Google.
Yeah, that infographic they got out.
Yeah, how many of those guys are head coaches and are playoff coaches now, which is why I wouldn't have minded the Broncos taking a look at Kevin O'Connell on the Rams staff.
Good call, by the way, on that.
Thank you. Yeah, McVay says, I'm too old to have a coaching tree. Well, yeah, you can laugh, but take that as a compliment. It's when you're a copycat league, you try to milk off of what works, and boy, do the Rams work. Although, yeah, but, man, the Niners, I'll lean Niners, but again, I wouldn't. Nothing would shock me there. That feels so coin flippy. And how much juice do the Rams take from a massive road win? I mean, really one of the upsets of the postseason to take out Brady like that. And the way they had to, when I'm sitting with my wife going, who despises Tom Brady, she calls him Tommy Two-Timer. You would know why. You don't have to Google that one, everybody. So
nope.
She's not a fan. And I said, he's going to do it, though. You watch. I've seen this enough. You never, you know, and Mahomes is getting that same way where if you give him any time, you're stuck. For the Rams to do what they did was awfully impressive to me. But I don't know, man. Kyle Shanahan has unfinished business. I think maybe he gets his buddy one more time.
I think McVay gets the monkey off his back. Matt Stafford's been making the throws, and that pass rush by the Rams has really been good in the postseason.
No faith in Jimmy G and your boy Robbie Gould.
No, I have all the faith in Robbie Gould, but I do not. I don't think Jimmy's got nine lives like a feline. I think the sand's running out of that hourglass. Let's put it that way.
Jimmy G would have two of the last four Super Bowl appearances for the NFC. You're probably right. I would think the football gods would not allow the Trent Dilfer of Gen Z to have more than one Super Bowl appearance in a decade. But stranger things have happened.
Trent Dilfer of Gen Z. That's your walk-off, Sean. Great stuff, man.
All right. Take care, buddy.
I'm Patrick Claybon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Bengals are expecting it to be loud Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC Championship game. But Joe Burrow says if the Chiefs' crowd make communicating difficult, he's now ready to call his own plays thanks to some technical issues he and head coach Zach Taylor had in last week's win in Nashville.
You know, Zach always kind of jokes that, hey, you know, don't pretend like the headset goes out so you can call your own plays. But, you know, on Sunday or Saturday, the headset did go out, and so I had to call three or four plays on my own. And, you know, all of them worked, so that was fun.
As for the Chiefs, Pro Bowl safety Tyrann Mathieu remains in the league's concussion protocol, but head coach Andy Reid says there's a chance he will be cleared to play by Sunday. On the NFC side, All-Pro left tackle Trent Williams did not practice for the Niners due to an ankle injury, but he's optimistic he can play Sunday, while the Rams got left tackle Andrew Whitworth and safety Taylor Rapp back at practice. Both missed Sunday's win over Tampa due to injuries. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When Chris Paul joined the Phoenix Suns last year, everybody knew the Suns would improve, but I don't think many people expected this kind of impact. Phoenix made it to the finals last season, and this year, they're the top seed in the West. Paul has a lot to do with that again. Despite being 36, he is still one of the NBA's elite point guards. Now, he's not the biggest or fastest or quickest, but that basketball IQ is off the charts. That was on full display last night in the Suns' win over the Utah Jazz. The game was close heading into the fourth quarter, but Paul scored 15 in the game's final 12 minutes, helping Phoenix to its eighth straight win. The NBA is a young man's game, but if last night proved anything, it's that Chris Paul's combination of elite fundamentals and basketball IQ is still a winning recipe in the NBA. And with talented players around him, that could once again make the Phoenix Suns a very, very dangerous team come playoff time, just like last year. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real live person. You know, a human being who's actually understanding your issues and works to resolve them. Someone with a knack for helping others and has a pulse. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. It's live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Remember all those big dreams you used to have, and then life made other plans? With a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it's time to bring those dreams back. Start your own business or commit to van life with a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Now, you could win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter Mode 4x4 that we have. Enter the Dan Patrick Show Ultimate Camping Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules. Visit danpatrick.com or foxsportsradio.com. Have to do it by February 2nd for your chance to win.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. I want to thank college basketball television analyst Kevin Lehman and also wish the coach happy birthday one more time. Also got to thank Denver Post sports columnist and reporter Sean Keeler for his great expertise on the program today. Hey, this hockey season, giving assist to local charities Contribute to the 1650 campaign presented by Slumberland Furniture, the Waterloo Blackhawks, and us here at The Fan. Each month, we tell the story of a different Cedar Valley organization doing good in the community and ask for donations of $16.50 or whatever you can spare at waterlooblackhawks.com. This month's featured organization is the Cedar Bend Humane Society. Your donations will help find loving homes for hundreds of dogs, cats, and other critters this year. All right, that's a wrap on a Thursday. I will be back tomorrow at 5. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.